Welcome back to the fourth episode of Gavel Talk, a Model UN podcast. I'm Devansh Pandey, your host. Today we'll be talking all about the different types of committees in Model UN. General Assembly, Specialized, Crisis. What do the terms all mean, and what are the similarities and differences between the types of committees? We'll be exploring some things that make each committee unique and talking about some of the most interesting topics out there. Before we start, I want to give a massive thank you to everyone who's listening to the podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've been here since the beginning, I appreciate your time and your support so much. We'll be bringing in guest speakers soon, so if you're interested in being a speaker, please DM us on Instagram at GavelTalk. Finally, we'll be launching on a few new podcast platforms as well, including Apple Podcasts, so keep your eyes peeled for that announcement and that release. Let's get started with the episode. All right, so let's start off this episode by talking about one of the most common kinds of committees, and that is a General Assembly or GA committee. GA committees are essentially what you think of when you hear Model UN. They're usually a pretty true to the real thing simulation of the United Nations, with one or two people representing a single country and working together to alter the flow of committee and make it go wherever they want it to go. General assemblies can vary in size, but are usually on the bigger side, with 30 to maybe 100 or even 1,000 delegates at some conferences. And so what's really interesting about General Assembly committees is that they, while they have a lot of strict rules and are very traditional, so to speak, they also allow for a lot of freedom of expression, because you are able to guide committee where you and the other delegates want it to go. In General Assembly committees, while again it varies, there are usually no crises or massive things that the chair gives you that alter the course of debate in any way. It really depends on the delegates and depends on the quality of debate and how it goes in that respect. So General Assembly is often what you make of it. It can be really interesting and rewarding, and even the most interesting and rewarding type of MUN committee, but it can also get boring or slow-paced if you're into a more fast-paced environment. And so later in the episode, we will be talking about the more fast-paced types of committees. General Assembly is really good for beginning delegates because it allows you to learn a lot of the concepts of MUN and the ways that MUN works and all of the rules of procedure without having to be thrown into some other more difficult types of committee. And General Assembly is really good for anyone who wants to simulate the United Nations or be as true as they can to that simulation. In general, General Assembly is a really, really interesting simulation of the UN, and like its name states, when you're doing one of those committees, you're usually playing one of the General Assembly committees of the United Nations. And what the General Assembly is in the real United Nations is it's the biggest body of the UN, and it's actually an entirely advisory body. So it generally just has the right to say things and establish committees and work with countries, but it doesn't have that much decision-making capacity all on its own. That being said, in GA committees, there's a lot that you can do outside of that, and there's a lot that you can do to fund global programs and work with other nations and committees to make the best experience possible. So to recap, GAs are the most simple or default kind of MUN committee, and they are usually pretty slow-paced, but they also have a lot of room for what you can do with them and are really, really good for beginning delegates to learn more about MUN and the rules of procedure. So in the next section, we're going to be talking about something called specialized committees, which is a massive umbrella of different committees, so we'll see you then. All right, so there is a second category in Model UN committees, and it's called specialized committees. And unlike GA, which usually has a pretty simple definition that most conferences follow, specialized committees can range wildly with the type of conference and the people running it. So the more common specialized committees are, for example, global organizations such as the European Union or the African Union. And the reason those can't be counted as GA committees is that they're not part of the United Nations or the United Nations General Assembly. And so you can't really call them that. And while they usually have a lot of similar aspects to the base General Assembly committees, they can also be really different in important ways. First of all, while specialized committees could sometimes be things like the EU while you're representing individual countries, specialized committees can also be things, for example, Facebook's board of directors, where you're in Model United Nations, but you're representing a person instead of a country. And so we'll talk about the last type of committee, which is a crisis committee, later on in the next section. But specialized committees are kind of the middle point or the mid-ground between a General Assembly committee and a crisis committee. Usually they'll be pretty true to normal Model UN rules of procedure, and specialized committees can be incredibly interesting for learning more about Model UN and taking that next step to getting into faster paced and more unconventional and interesting committees. So, specialized committees, again, usually are a bit more unconventional than GA committees, and they are really, really wide ranging. I mean, you can have anything from the EU to Facebook's board of directors, and you can even have something called press corps, which is a committee that's sometimes placed in bigger conferences. And press corps is essentially a group of you're simulating a newspaper reporter, and you're going out to different committees and you're reporting on them to make a final newspaper that you'll finish instead of a resolution. And so press corps is one really interesting example of how Model UN has evolved into not just a simulation of the United Nations, but instead a massive activity where there are so many different options for what to do and what kind of committees to explore. If press corps isn't your thing, maybe you could try, for example, a venture capital committee, which is sort of at times similar to Shark Tank or activities like DECA, where you are making a pitch and to the chair who is going to be your investor. And I know UC Berkeley has Berkeley Venture Capital, which is the biggest example of that, I believe. And it's a really successful committee that's has a lot of people that are really interested and go back year after year for Berkeley Venture Capital. And so there are a ton of different options for specialized committees. And what they generally have in common, except things like press corps and venture capital, is that they have a format that is similar to that of GAs. And so they're a really good jumping off point if you want to explore further than GAs. And you aren't ready for crisis yet. And finally, in the next part, we'll be talking more about what a crisis committee is and how that works. Crisis committees are a really interesting type of Model UN committee for a couple of reasons, but mostly because they're defined as just being so different than a traditional MUN committee or even the UN. For starters, in crisis committees, you're usually not a country or representing a country. Instead, you're representing a person and making decisions and actions based on that person. But to figure out why crisis committees are different, we're going to have to look at the backbone of crisis committees or the back room of crisis committees, and that is crisis staff. So, what happens in a crisis committee is that in normal MUN committees, you have something called front room, which is the actual room where all of the delegates are talking and chatting and just discussing In moderated caucuses, unmoderated caucuses, writing resolutions, and all that. In crisis committee, you have that front room, but you also have a back room. And that back room is usually another room in in-person conferences or a different breakout room in Zoom conferences that has crisis staff dedicated to advancing the flow of committee. So your chair manages the committee, but what crisis staff do is that they create a story of crisis. They provide the updates in committee that change the course of committee. Crisis staff essentially give you updates and new information and write that new information, create that new information based on what is happening in committee, and then give you updates based on that. So, if you're in a historical crisis committee, for example, then what's going to happen is that every 15 or 10 minutes, based on what everybody has done within committee, crisis staff is going to come into the room and give everyone an update on what has happened, any changes that have been made, any overt actions, any assassinations, for example, that have occurred. And so, crisis staff's job is to really make and tell a story of the committee in Mata UN. And often they do a really interesting job of that and succeed in giving a really interesting story to the delegates. So, what happens in a crisis committee is that instead of your usual resolutions, which are the only way that any individual delegate really has power in the committee other than their spoken words, you now have something called directives. And there are two types of directives. There are public directives and there are private directives. So private directives are usually called crisis notes. And they, along with crisis updates, are the biggest differentiator of crisis versus non-crisis. Essentially, what a crisis note does is it allows you to write something down to crisis staff that explains how you are using your personal powers. For example, if you are Joseph Biden, the President of the United States, and the crisis committee is nuclear weapons, and the possibility of nuclear winter, you, as Joe Biden, can issue a press release imploring every country in the world, even America, to lay down your nuclear weapons and advocating for nuclear non-proliferation. And so, in crisis committees, you have a lot of options in terms of what you can do with that little notepad or chat or email if you're in a virtual committee or even a committee that uses technology. And there, since there's so much freedom, crisis committees tend to be really fast-paced because there's just so much going on at once. There's plotting and backstabbing, and there's a lot of times people using their powers for things that improve their own situation and help them in committee, like taking over an entire country and becoming a dictator of that country, or working with other nations in a joint directive to ensure that everyone is in a happier nuclear non-proliferated world. And the interesting thing about these is that with even public directives, they are much shorter than full resolutions, and you pass many of them very quickly. That is why crisis committees are so fast-paced compared to General Assembly committees, because you just keep giving information and keep working on new updates to the crisis staff, and the crisis staff ping-pong their own updates and information back to you. So, crisis is an incredibly interesting thing, and I would strongly recommend that everyone tries it at least once. And there are so many interesting committee options for crisis, but some of the most fun I've seen are fantasy crisis committees. For example, I've been a god in a Gods of Olympus crisis committee where I was trying to use my godly powers to save all of the mortals from the coronavirus pandemic. Or You could be, for example, in a Harry Potter committee. And since there are so many options for what crisis is and the almost role playing that crisis creates, there's really something in crisis for everyone. And that's why I love crisis so much. And that's why I love Model UN so much, because there are so many options for everyone. So I would really encourage that everyone try crisis at least once you've done those General Assembly and specialized committees to really understand MUN better. And because crisis is just a really, really interesting experience that I'm sure every delegate, if they try, can have a lot of fun out of. And it can be a really fast-paced, engaging experience of Model UN. So, in the next part, we're going to go on to the final type of committee. And you might be wondering why I reserved an entire part for this type. It's the United Nations Security Council, when it's often considered a specialized or a crisis committee. And that's because the Security Council is so different from any other committee you'll do that it deserves an entire part of an episode. All right. Finally, let's talk about the UN Security Council. Here is the biggest reason the Security Council is so different from any other committee. Even though its rules are usually the same as a General Assembly committee or sometimes a crisis committee where you receive continuous crisis updates depending on the conference. The reason it's so different is that a lot of the time, five of its members have a veto power over any public directive or resolution that's passed. Think about that for a second. So, in the real United Nations Security Council, there's a group of five countries, and that group is the United States, the United Kingdom, Russia, France, and China. And that group is essentially the group that was leading or won in World War II, and after that led the global rebuilding of the world. And so those five countries pose a massive influence over international and global affairs. And the reason is because the United Nations Security Council is a part of the United Nations that has the power to take actual action on things and make binding decisions on every member of the United Nations. But the thing about that is, each one of those P5 countries, the US, UK, Russia, France, and China, have a veto power in the United Nations Security Council. So if there is any resolution passed, and any one of them votes no on that resolution will fail, no matter what. And that veto power cannot be overridden with 14 other members of the 15-person Security Council voting for it. It is an absolute veto. That is incredibly interesting from a geopolitical perspective because it gives a lot of power to those five countries. But from a Model UN perspective, it can be either incredibly infuriating or incredibly interesting, or both. As a P5 country in a UN Security Council commission, what you're really trying to do is make sure you never have to use that veto power. And so while the UNSC is so different based on which conference you're in, it can either be basically a GA with no one having a veto power, or it can be a crisis with five members having veto power and the exact 15-member representation of the actual Security Council. It can be anywhere from those extremes. And so that is why the UNSC is so interesting. As a P5, though, you are trying your very hardest to make sure you don't have to use that veto power because it is such a nuclear bomb on any proposal that is given in committee. And as a non-P5 country, you're also trying to make sure that none of those P5s use their veto power on a resolution that you support, and maybe that they do use their veto power on a resolution that you oppose. And so the entire tactics and strategy of Security Council become incredibly different from even normal GA committee or a crisis, based on whether or not there is a veto in that committee. And if there is, it can define the entire committee because of how powerful that single vote is. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and I really hope you enjoyed hearing about the different types of committees in Model UN. As always, I really, really appreciate you listening. It means so much. Your support is amazing. Please make sure to check out our Instagram at Gavel Talk and stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you.